We also could see this from the recategorization that we did with the national culture, where it was clear that the municipality was falling under the challenge municipalities, which needed an intervention. A number of labor disputes, service delivery process, and then all those issues really made us to see that there was no other way we could assist the municipality except for instituting the intervention in terms of Section 189. And in terms of this, we then have to make sure that there is a recovery plan, which must ensure that the municipality's ability to meet its obligations to provide services and financial commitments to be able to be honest, and to be able to prepare in accordance with the initial legislation, the budget, as well as the exercise and administrative authority as it's required by law. We then just want to go through what we, I'm not going to go through for you with all the challenges as you have indicated. What we then set ourselves when we instituted 189 is that we needed to ensure that there was implementation of the systems, policies and procedures. We also had to undertake all the steps as prescribed in terms of 54A of the Municipal Systems Act. We had to undertake all the functions listed in Section 51 of the MSM, as well as ensuring that there is an implementation of the cost-cutting measures, and ensure that there are issues of disciplinary matters, including criminal civil matters, if needed to be. We also needed to ensure that in terms of our intervention, we rectify all the decisions that are taken by council and committees, as well as reviewing the organizational structure, assisting the municipalities implementing the strategy to deal with the service delivery failures, particularly related to water and sanitation, but service delivery issues in general, as well as the operations and maintenance to ensure that the municipality complies. We also then went to the Executive Council to request support in terms of financial support, we got a treasury coming in, our provincial treasury. We had the National Department of Water Affairs and Sanitation. We also had various agencies such as the Water, Umgeni Water, and all these agencies and stakeholders came before to assist us. I must say that since then, the National Minister has further given us a lot of support in terms of ensuring that there are engineers to deal with the issues of maintenance and operations, but also a number of issues related to water services in particular. In terms of our plan, you see that we focus on the basic services and infrastructure, the issues of financial viability, the issues of good governance and public participation, the issues of LED and planning, and the issues of institutional and transformation within the municipality. That's all the issues that we set ourselves to assist the municipalities with. As I indicated, that we had to engage Umgeni Water to come and assist because there were urgent issues that needed to be dealt with, needed interventions that needed to be undertaken by Umgeni Water, included the ensuring that we look at the whole of our water system, we look at the water resources in terms of the immediate interventions. The main catchments being those ones that I mentioned there, Pongola, Umfolo, Zimkhuzi, Mhlohlwe, Sunduze, and Ingwavuma. And the major dams being those ones that are indicated there. And understanding as well that we are presently facing a very serious drought in the province.
Therefore, there was a need for us to make sure that challenges that communities were complaining about were dealt with by all the teams that were there. The progress that has been made so far, you'll see that include ensuring that the schemes that are there in the municipality are dealt with. There was a lot of vandalism and the illegal connection of water in the pipes, because from the previous schemes that the municipality was implementing, there was a lot of water that was under the ground, in that there were a lot of infrastructure and water that had been delivered by the MIG, but what is still a challenge is the recirculation of that water to come to the people. And as a result of the people knew that there was always pipe of water that were going past their houses and their areas, but they were not able to get it. Therefore, all the illegal connection that then took place, resulting in a huge loss of revenue, as well as the losses in terms of the damage to the infrastructure within the municipality. You will see from the progress report that is on the intervention that we're done by Ngeni Water, that a number of rehabilitation work has been done, and we're standing at 100%, and you will see we categorize it per local municipality. Mduba Duba, that is all the work that has been done in all those areas. Usabialingana, that's work that has been done in all those areas, almost all of that work having been completed. Big South Falls Bay, Shabisa, that's all work that's been done by Ungeni, particularly dealing with immediate issues of ensuring that people do get water in the areas where they were not getting water. And a very short space of time, we have seen a huge turnaround in terms of services, where there was a need for generators. We had to bring in generators where there was a need for changes of the cable to a three-way, three phase. We had to do that, as well as ensuring that the cash flow situation in the municipality is improved, although we can indicate that as of now, the situation remains precarious, slightly due to the beginning of the financial year, where we used the youth equitable shield to pay the creditors from the previous year. We are making all the efforts to reduce the costs, and we are intensifying our cost-cutting program that we have implemented with the municipality. The following slide then just give you the blow by blow, as it were, of what is happening now in each one of the municipality, given the drought situation, but also given the work that has been done by various teams, i.e. The Department of Water and Sanitation, Ungeni Water, Umsatuzi Water, and all those agencies that are working there to assist. And particularly now that our dam levels, some of them have reached below 20%, and some of them we are not able to can't draw water anymore because of the drought that is taking the province. You will see in Mduba Duba the situation that we are at, and indicates again at Ozini the situation that we are at, as well as in Mtabialingana the situation that we are currently experiencing, but also the work that has been done by the various stakeholders, as I indicated before. We think that we are making progress because there are teams from the Treasury that are dealing particularly with financial issues. We've also received a number of texts from the National Department. We received an extra 5 tankers in December 2015, and that has also assisted us a lot. We have installed a number of portable or water storage facilities in various areas, and where there was water that are under the ground in the form of the bulk water, we had to put the same pipes so that people can receive water and don't drill illegally, which has been causing the municipality a lot of damage in terms of the infrastructure. The document there just tells you what is happening, how many JoJo tanks were, and how much work is being done, whether we have steel pipe or we have JoJo tanks, and all the work toward Pier municipality is indicated there. I would not read it because you can look at it and see the amount of work and the infrastructure that is being pushed to ensure that the municipality is assisted to deal with the challenges of drought, in particular, while they are still able to deal with the other administrative and financial issues that are still a challenge to the municipality. Chairperson or members, I think I will leave it at that. Particularly the main issue of Section 139(1)(b), but also just indicating the needed work that has been done to deal with the issues of drought and the lack of water amongst the community of Mukanyavud and Kiche.
Thank you very much, Honourable MEC. I think the presentation of the MEC's report, allow me, Honourable members, to welcome the Whip of the Committee in the Limited. You're welcome. And also officials that accompany the MEC. Honourable members, the report. And I also welcome, I think it's for the first time that you meet officials from the Select Committee. You are also welcomed. You know, earlier on we met, it's unfortunate I thought that it's for. But let me leave it. Can I then afford honorable members an opportunity to open clarity seeking questions? Can I also welcome the ministers, perhaps from the Ministry of Culture? You also welcome them. My apologies. Clarity seeking questions. There's a report, Mukanyakute, and thank you very much, honorable MEC, for ensuring that you also cover issues that relate to drought, because I think during our visit in KZN there has been a call for concern. Other members, there is a presentation. This is well informed, because that indicates then in different areas. Then I just pose a question. In your presentation, you spoke that the municipality has got a deficit of 170 million, which was reduced to 57 million. If you check in terms of the provision of the Municipal Finance Management Act, particularly Section 34 or Section 3 of it, it is saying as soon as the municipality has approved the budget, the accounting officer must ensure that he takes the budget to the National Treasury and the relevant provincial treasury. And if you go further to Section 23, is emphasizing of MSMA again, is also emphasizing MSC, the process is particularly in terms of consultation. And in there, you also find treasury has been consulted. I just want to check, because the law says a municipality is not supposed to budget on a deficit. I know perhaps it might not be a relevant question to the MSC, but if the MSC can be the position to answer, because the failures that are happening at the level of the municipality are equally liable or vested in the responsibility of the MEC, if perhaps the MEC can also assist. I'm not sure if there are any other questions on our members. MEC, since this is the only question that got for today.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, as you see that we have been decreasing that deficit, it's true. and the treasury is working with the municipality to further ensure that that deficit is wiped out, and they are in the process of doing that. As I said, that treasury has deployed about 3 financial experts that are helping the municipality to balance their books, but also deal with these issues that we've tabled before you.
Thank you very much, MC. I can see that this is for looking questions. So now we'll check it.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Can I also, just before you proceed, can I also place it on record, you had an apology of Kofi Kadejani. He's attending another meeting. My apologies, and I will check it. We have also the apology of the whip. That is why you have delayed the attendance to the whip meeting. We have also the apology of the secretary of the committee, Zake Boss Manel. Those are the only apologies that I got. I'm not sure if there's any other apology. In the absence, it means others that did not apologize, they are absent for the meeting week. I think you need to take that into consideration. Thank you very much. Honorable Chief?
Yeah, thank you, sir. In the absence of my comrades not complimenting my MC, allow me to compliment my MC on the cost of this and I hope that other MCs, other problems will be most good as the committee has been pushed on the future.
Thank you very much. I think it's a compliment. Thank you very much and a round of applause. Minister of Culture, a rep from Minister of Culture, do you have any problem with the MEC? So I can do up with the MEC. Thank you. Thank you very much. MEC, if I may ask, if you were to say in 3 sentences, how would you rate the Umkhanya Kude local municipality, district municipality? Given that it's a water service authority, you know, in terms of the responsibility, another related responsibility, how would you rate it?
Well, in terms of our basic share, they rate it as a municipality that is needing intervention. Our rating of best basics and takes into consideration different factors such as the financial viability as we indicate in the report, such as the governance issues, such as the service delivery record. So that's how we have rated it in terms of the best basics. Therefore, the need for hands-on approach. At the moment in Umkhanya Kude, as I indicated, we have 3 people from the treasury, we have 2 people from COPTA, we have 6 engineers there, we have 2 people again from treasury that are dealing with procurement issues and assisting the municipality. We also have 2 legal people that are dealing with the issues of the contract management of municipality, dealing with the issues of debtors, control, creditors, and recovering any amount that the municipality needs to recover. So we have quite a lot of people really that are trying to do everything possible to assist the municipality. The unfortunate thing, Chair, that the honorable members you would appreciate is that as politicians yourself, you rely on your officials to assist and to give you information that is truthful, to give you the information that will allow you to take particular decision or particular stance on various issues. And if you have officials that are supposed to be experts, because you would have, with all the problems that we have there, you have technical services director, you would have corporate services, you would have CFOs, you would have all these people that are experts, but you still come to this kind of a situation. It's a very, very unfortunate situation. I think moving forward in 2016 with the new councils that are going to be coming in, we're thinking of the strategies that will assist us, all of us, including yourself, all of us as people who are entrusted with the responsibility by our communities. We need to find a strategy of knowing what is under the documents that I have with me. Because in many instances, we honestly rely on good faith for people to be honest with us to do their job, basically what they are paid to do, because they're not volunteers. They're paid to be what they are, or to claim whatever expertise and you know, qualifications that they claim to have. But you would still you know, not be able to see correct things being done. So we do have that challenge. And as a result, we are going to be putting the new crop of counselors through a very aggressive training program that will aim at training counselors and specialists in various fields. If you are a member of the Committee of Finance, we will drill you for the whole year on finances. You will go to training just to train on financial issues for non-financial, you know, practitioners. You would know to how to read your financial statement, how to read your internal audit report. You would know everything about that. We will also want to see the impact of what people are studying towards the output of the municipality. And we'll be measuring the success or the lack of success of the training program through what we will be seeing in that municipality coming out. So that's the kind of a program that we are hoping we will be able to do. God willing, with monies, and we are approaching various donors, institutions to assist us. But we think if we could get those right, where counselors are able to, with the fine comb, to be able to scratch and get the relevant information they need. Going to an extent of even asking for a bank statement, you know, bank statement to see that what you see in front of you is indeed what's in the bank. You know, that kind of a detail here that we are thinking of putting in place.
Thank you very much. Let me welcome Honorable Luana. It seems she was sent to the wrong venue, unfortunately. But nonetheless, thank you very much. We've taken measures on it. We have also on record an application for leave of absence from Honorable Mkanga. Here's the letter also. I think it's clear that almost everyone is here except Honorable Mkanga, and the apology that he has sent. And you see, lastly on my side, You have indicated, MEC, that the intervention in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution, and in terms of the report, you are giving us a picture that either way it's yielding results, the intervention in terms of Section 154. I just want to check if there's positive progress in terms of Section 154, where you have indicated that engineers, you know, people from Dairy and whoever are deployed there. Why is MEC soliciting that the committee might consider intervention, if I may ask?
Well,
Chair,
we are asking for committee to consider approving the intervention, because it already started here. And it said that the decision was taken in October, and the minister concurred with the decision. Now we need the committee concurrence. And we are saying, since we started working with them in terms of the constitution, we are yielding results. But before that, as I said, that we started with a soft, what we call a soft intervention or voluntary intervention, which did not yield the results. It was only after we then used the legal basis of 189 that we then started to see these results that we are using. Also, we also assisted us then to get the kind of expertise, like all the people that you see being deployed there, they would have been deployed there if it was not for 189. Because in terms of, again, the Constitution, you would know that municipalities are executive authorities in their own right, and no CEO of government can interfere with their work, but only when the municipality cannot or does not it's a charge, it's a constitutional responsibility that we then able to intervene. And we only do that as a last resort, having given support, having given everything as a last resort, we then go for 139. So that is why we want the committee to concur, because we think from the previous, from the presentation that we've made, with all the previous attempts of working together, we never yielded any results, only until we then took over that we are receiving the kind of support and the results. I must make sure that even the councillors were quite happy that we have intervened, because they were also shocked with some of the things that they discovered were happening, and it's in the best interest of all of us that we assist our communities, because if we do not assist our communities, we will have failed our responsibilities as various members of Parliament and the province in doing our work. And I think the support, therefore, of the committee means that all of us are in this together, in assisting and supporting the municipality to discharge its responsibilities.
Thank you very much, Honourable MEP. I think we're going to have the last question. Honourable Member.
Mr. K, thank you. I just want to check with the MEC. The report speaks about 33 million that was made available, which comes down to an effective 26 million used as additional intervention for the municipality. But if we look at slide 7.5, the status of the Department of Water and Sanitation funded interventions, there's an amount of 112 million. So maybe if I can just get clarity in terms of those two figures. Thank you.
Yes, the 33 million is a 40 million that it's a 40 million that I spoke about, was about for the intervention, for the actual intervention, because one of the challenges we had is that if you come to the municipality, you identify a list of things that's got to be done. Now, and you can't do that because you don't have money. The municipality will say, well, they said you're coming to support me, or you're coming to help me, so help me. So we had to then use those money to employ the services of Ungeri Water to help us with all the operation, the maintenance issues, and blocking of all the technical challenges that we have around the service delivery. The other money that we see from the Department of Water and Sanitation, that is specifically for drought. And that money is being used for water tankering, it's used for the Georgia tanks. All that list that you see there are of all the Georgia tanks in all the local municipalities, in all the wards that are mentioned there. That's the money that is being used for, particularly just for drought. It's for drought and nothing else.
Thank you very much. Honorable MEC, I think this brings us to the end of this presentation on Kanyakute. I think the committee, you have heard, will have an opportunity to deliberate and arrive at the conclusion of this matter in the next meeting. So what we need to do now, we need to go to the next item, which is the progress report by administrator. I'm not sure, we're expecting, as I indicated, Salga Reb here and Reb from the municipality. I'm not sure if there's any Salga Reb here. None. Reb from the municipality.
Good morning, sir, and good morning to the members of the committee and the colleagues. Our standard policy for joining the meeting late. So we were in another room hoping we will be called here when we are trying to deal with the question of the presentation, our standard policy. Certainly, we did also engage with Alka in the process and Alice in them of this meeting, but they sent notification that they had prior engagement and they were unable to join the meeting. The administrator and the mayor, the speaker of Kanyakute, are on their way. They could not get their flights coming to Cape Town. And days, yeah, on their way to what I'm doing. So, yeah.
The logistic coordinator has to follow up if their parents are out there, but I think it is quite important that we also give them the fair chance to present before the vomit, before we can conclude on this matter. Honourable member?
Yeah, I just want to invite the speaker to introduce himself, please.
Oh, my apologies. In fact, do you know it has been a tradition that we introduce each other, but all along, it was not for the first time that interacted with the office of the minister. We all know it's an Honourable Tando, you now know, you know. But thousand apologies, because I took it for granted that we, it's not the first time that we interact with the office. But for the benefit of Honourable Member, may I ask the Honourable Member to introduce herself before we afford them an opportunity, because she's also a new member in the community. She has replaced Honourable Julius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Bronwyn Albrecht, a member of the committee representing Gauteng.
My name is Thando Rubane. I'm the senior general manager responsible for local government grants at COPTA Cable and Department.
Thank you.
I'm Stella Dumas, the senior manager for municipal governance at COPTA Cable. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Then is the MEC main officer. I think she's a well known person in the ranks of local government. Otherwise, I would hate to share his experiences on the level NEC. Thank you very much. Can you then go to that?
Thank you very much. I'm not a member from the ministry. I'd like to put on the record on the point you made earlier. You may have made on a lighter note that I did not clap when the committee welcomed the is that I did not want to lose the point. I was like jotting something down, and in the ministry we don't have any problem with the MEC. In fact, we're working very, very well.
No, you're forgiven, Tanda. Thank you very much. Can we then go to the next item without any waste of time on our members? You are going to speak to the slides and not necessarily read for us. We'll read it for ourselves. So can I then ask on the side of the MEC, I'm not sure we went to the presentation in terms of progress of interventions. Remember we said it, that we need really to check and check where we're now resolved on interventions, what is progress, what are the challenges, what are the achievements, are there any results yielded as a result of intervention? On our MEC, I'm not sure it's going to be a presentation.
Okay, I guess I would like to, the officials will have to give me part of their salary because I'm doing all the work for them. Chair, honorable members, Baba Zane, we are making good progress. You would remember that the intervention...
Thank you, my apologies. Copies will be circulated in a short while. They are just finalizing the meeting of them.
Chair, you would remember that for honorable members who were not heard this way it all started, but it all started with the triggered by the political instability at the municipality, which has happened since the inauguration of the municipality in 2011, and the challenges culminated to a council meeting of the 2012, which took a resolution to replace the office grounds illegally, which we challenged, and subsequently even going to the High Court, where the High Court ruled against the municipality, and the court then directed that the municipality should reverse all the decisions that they had taken with that regard. Again, we could not do anything there until we had gone through the intervention in terms of the constitution. I do wish to remind the members that it's a very difficult situation, or
a very thin line of balancing between the supports and the assistance that we give to municipality against being seen to be interfering with the administration or with the municipality's executive authority. So you would want really to be careful of how you support, of how you do your work with the municipality without being seen as to be overstepping your mark. And that is why it is important, honourable members, that when we do this kind of work, you understand that in KZN, for instance, we have 51 municipalities, and these are all different cattle of fish in the port. All of them are different in their own way. All of them do their own things. I'm not there when they're doing their own things because I'm not supposed to be there because they, as I say, they are a sphere of government. They are not, I'm not the big sister. And I'm just an MC which is there to support and ensure that the municipality do its function. So in Mabazane it was that kind of a situation where you have to balance as to how far can you allow the situation to degenerate and affect service delivery against what the municipality is expected to do in its own. We've made a lot of progress here where we had targets that we set for ourselves. Unfortunately, because you do not have the slides, so I'll just have to go into detail with this. We had a key performance area, which was basic services, and we had 12 remedial actions, and so far we have met 10 of those targets, and the remedial actions have not all been met as expected, but we are hoping that by end of February, we should have dealt with the remaining issues of infrastructure and service delivery at Mbabazane. On the financial viability as a key performance area that we set ourselves, here we set 18 remedial actions and we have met 10 targets, and we remain with 7 more targets that we still need to make, and 4 of the remedial actions not met are ongoing matters, and 2 are ones off that should be completed by February, and 1 is conditional to the outcome of the legal dispute between the municipality and the 31 employees whose salaries were increased illegally by the former municipality manager when they had removed the other administration and they put the other administration in place. Under good governance and public participation, we have put 14 remedial actions and we have met 12 of our targets there, and the 2 outstanding targets, we are hoping that we should meet them pretty soon. Under local economic development, these relate to the issues of the sustainability of the municipality, and the lack of funding in the main is the one reason that we've not been able to really deal with the local economic development programs and implement a sustainable program for municipal turnaround in that. But if you look at this key performance area, you'll notice that this municipality will be merging with Umtshezi municipality to form one municipality come few months time down from now. So we are hoping that with that measure we are going to be achieving some economies of scale in terms of the local economic development, because we're going to be looking at a whole entity, and hopefully we'll then be able to make good progress in that. The Municipal Institutional Development and Transformation, the outstanding remedial actions here relate to the performance assessment of senior managers, which was hampered by the fact that the municipal manager was on suspension and he has since been dismissed. And we're hoping that now that the matter of the MM has been dealt with, we then should be able to deal with the rest of the senior managers, and we'll then be able to deal with this matter. The cross-cutting measures, we are implementing them. It is an ongoing issue. The non-functional of the change management committee, we've had challenges where the change management committee was not meeting as expected, and as at our report on the 29th of January, the report submitted that the functionality of the change management committee has improved. This is our meeting with all the CMCs last year, where we put a certain measures in place for the CMPs to be completing them. Some among tasks relate to organograms, the naming of the municipality, the integration of the policies, and around the finance committee, the issue of the consolidation of the IDP and the budget, the general evaluation role, valuer from both municipalities and COPTA, and the appointment of service providers are involved in the compilation of the evaluation role. Understanding that, as I indicated, that come 2016, after local government election, this will be joined with some shared municipality to go on. So already we are putting everything together in this municipality, including the financial systems and policies. On the issue of the non-compliance with the setting rules, we have looked at the compiled the report on the non-attendance of meetings and council committee meetings, as well as we have put as part of the remedial election the advice to the Speaker and the Council on the correct measures that were required. Here we had a problem of councillors walking in and out of meetings. You know that kind of style where the one party or the other is not happy, they'll walk out and break the quorum and have all sort of tactics to not engage with the matters. We are told that the situation still exists where councillors still submit verbal applications for leave of absence, which the Speaker has undertaken to rectify, and we are monitoring any of the councillors who would breach the code of conduct by not attending three consecutive meetings as required. So we are monitoring that. The non-functionality of the MPAC, the ministerial representative has had a meeting with the chairperson of the MPAC and the workshop on powers and functions of the delegations of the MPAC were workshops with the councillors. And the MPEC meetings for the second quarter were held, and the MPEC for the third quarter will be held in March. So we are making progress indeed. On good governance, we are again making good progress. In terms of the review of the budget by the Treasury Committee and by Council, that was done on the 18th and to be completed on the 22nd, where the mayor was appointed as the chairperson of this committee. The council also decided to reconstitute all other portfolio committees, and this was done at the opening of the council this year. And each committee has since our meeting now as scheduled. We have received reports that since the reconstituting of the committee, the committees have begun to function better than what has happened before. On the issue around the credibility of the budget, the provincial treasury has given the municipality until February to correct the unfunded budget. The media budget and performance assessment report was tabled in council on 29th of 2016. The adjustment budget has been drafted and is due to go to council, and it is a balanced budget. On the financial viability, There the progress is that the services of internal audit services, audit service provider, were procured in December. The services were procured through Umhlanga municipality using Regulation 32 of the supply chain, because we had to make sure that the function of the internal and external audit is provided through the municipality. Post-audit action plan, that was not addressed. As we talk now, the post-audit action plan to address the current and prior year audit findings was tabled on the 18th, and we are happy with the credibility of the response to the audit findings by the Auditor General. On the staff issues, the training of the staff commenced in November and it continues as the municipality is merging. They are now working on a budget for one municipality come 2016 elections. At least we are comfortable that they're working towards that so that that returns are compiled internally and they are submitted in time. The issue of the CFO, he reviewed the submissions of Section 71 reports to the mayors and the provincial treasury not later than 10, 15 days after the end of the month. And this started in October, and the ministerial representative is assuring quality of the report are submitted on an ongoing basis. The issue of the non-payment by other organs of state, we had planned meetings with the National Department of Works and Provincial Treasury, as well as the railways of the Imbabazane municipality, as well as the ministerial representative, to come to some agreement around the payment of services and payment in particular by other government entities or other organs of state, like the national department in particular, who are not paying services for municipalities. And we want that money, Chair and honorable members. Issue of irregular withdrawal from the municipal bank account, we have to make sure that those practices stop. The practices of irregular withdrawal were stopped as of October, and since October, the ministerial representative rectified all payments before they are processed through the bank, and investigations are ongoing. And we're hoping that by 31st of March, we should have completed this exercise. The anti-corruption and fraud strategy, which was poorly crafted, we have ensured that we review the anti-corruption strategy, and this will be completed by February. And the cascading of this strategy to all the staff in the municipality to workshops is pending the completion of the strategy, and as well as the communication of the strategy with the communities, as well as the whole internal control environment that needed to be reviewed in the municipalities, all pending the strategy. And once the strategy is in place, we then will be able to engage all the stakeholders, including the communities, so that they will be able to hold the municipality accountable for the issues of corruption and fraud within the municipality. On the audit outcomes of unqualified audit with the matters, the 2014-15 post-audit action plan to address the current and prior year audit findings was tabled in December and it is being implemented, and should the municipality be able to adequately address all the issues in the plan, and we're hoping that there will not be any regression municipality. As a result of that, if we do not address, we think the municipality will be a good candidate for a clean audit from the upcoming audit outcome for 2016. the cash flow situation at the close out of the year, we are projecting that the municipality will have a surplus of 16,903,651 in their bank accounts, coming from the zero cash flow to where we are now. We think it's been a good progress in that regard. On the institutional capacity, the municipality completed last year the alignment and the terms of reference for the consultant to be able to deal with the functions of the technical services and infrastructure, as well as the alignment of the terms of reference of the technical services that the municipality is expected to perform. And the exercise was completed by 2015 and is being monitored in terms of the intervention. The institutional capacity, we had a challenge there where the municipality manager was suspended for a long time, and we're happy to say that the matter was completed in September and the MM was dismissed, and the municipality now continues as they are meeting with the Umgezi municipality. We do not see the need for filling of that vacancy. Indicated that the disciplinary case was finalized in December and the MM was found guilty on all counts. The main charge was that of illegal increase of salaries of all the 31 employees that were employed during the time when they had changed the office balance, and the sentencing took place and it was dismissed. And due to the fact that the municipality will be merging, it was deemed not necessary to replace the MM, but rather the current acting MM continues until the local government election. The issue of disciplinaries, the disciplinary case of the second general manager of corporate services was based on the fact that he had manipulated the increase of his own salary. The disciplinary concluded in December and he was found guilty. The manager had since resigned before sentencing could commence. The issue of two general managers corporate that needed to be resolved. The first manager, who had been reinstated by the local labor forum court, also resigned from October. The municipality presently does not have any corporate services. The filling of the position is not desirable as the municipality will be merging. Mbabazane has been requested to consider using the services of the General Manager of Corporate Services at Umgezi Municipality until the two municipalities merge. Around the issue of institutional capacity, again, our assessment first conducted in February and for the period of July to December 2015, will be followed by another assessment which will be conducted in 2016 of the municipal senior manager's performance assessment. Employee salaries that were increased in the month of February as in contravention of the bargaining council collective agreement, the municipality, municipal manager and the manager of corporate services were indeed suspended as we indicated, and they were found guilty, both of them, and the increments were only stopped in May 2015, at which decision was rectified by the ministerial representative. The municipality has indeed defended the matter with the local bargaining council, and the latter ruled on the 14th of January that the matter was outside its jurisdiction. On party participation, only three of the 13 wards were declared fully functional through our assessment in December 2015. 11 of the 13 ward councillors did not bid hold meetings between ward 1 to 3, ward committee meetings during the third quarter of October to December, 8 of the 13 ward councillors held their community meetings and feedback during the quarter October, which ended in December. Labour job opportunities, we have since implemented a program there, the Food for Work program, which has taken 100 people. 15 young people were given internships in waste jobs, 400 people were involved in the Community Works program, and 160 people are involved in the Extended Public Works program. So there are activities around the job creation in and around this municipality. The issues around the electricity and the service delivery process, here at Budget Area in respect to electrification funding was ratified during 15-16 adjustment budget as it is currently reflecting 18 million as Department of Energy grant. The funds have been replenished, the funds have to replenish municipal reserves. These funds are therefore not available unless there are there has been an agreement at the level of the Change Management Committee. The following intense lobby on the 10th December, the Department of Energy approved an allocation of 8.7 for the 2016 financial year. In addition, allocation is expected in the 2016-17 financial year. The electrification of Entranomkize and Mayendeni project has commenced, and the municipality still has backlog of 1,032 units and requires an additional 21 million. Understanding that this is one of those municipalities that had islands when it comes to electricity. The coordination of various stakeholders. Stakeholder engagements were conducted by the municipality with the assistance of COPCA Rapid Response Unit. Several meetings were held in December and November, as well as in January. In January, Tsuvela District Municipality, which is the authority responsible for water in the area, committed to program to commence the implementation of a sanitation program in Ward 7 by April 2016. So those are the indicators, the honourable members, that we are sharing with you. And the Imbabazana received a qualified audit opinion for the 14-15. This is an improvement from the previous year. And we already dealt with other issues. And we think that if we are going in this direction, the municipality will be able to obtain clean audit. And should the management leadership in the municipality also work a bit harder, we think that the issues of service delivery will be addressed. Current cash flow projection I've already spoken about. I've already spoken about issues of unemployment, electricity and water. I won't go through them. And the issues of measure, they are ongoing. There are squabbles that were reported, particularly over the allegation by Simon, the Municipal Council, that there are funds that are being used without going through the processes of the Change Management Committees. This matter is being monitored together by us and the administrator in the municipality. The last one, Indaga. Indaga has become an intervention as well. We have those targets that we set for ourselves. The last. Those are the achievements. I'm not going to go through it now because you have copies. I'm just talking to you. Those are the targets we set for ourselves on those key performance areas that are there. And those are the targets that we've been able to meet. And those are the outstanding targets. In terms of the detail, the issue of the municipality that didn't have the rules and discipline, the workshops held with councillors are to go through the issues of the rules and discipline, how they should behave in meetings, also help the staff, as well as the messages displayed on boards, and the staff are continuously reminded about their roles during staff meetings. Misconduct by councillors has been reported to the speaker and COCA, and evidence supplied. Outcomes of the investigation by Advocate Tembu. You remember that we had to institute disciplinary action to councillors that were unruly and that were causing the municipality to be ungovernable. And we instituted the code of conduct, which is we are awaiting the outcomes of the disciplinary process that is presently going on those councillors that were found to breach their code of conduct, and we will be sanctioning those councillors again for non-attendance of meetings. We will be dealing with all those issues. Public participation, we think they are progressing. The council met on the 1st of December, since the August, they have not met. All decisions of council have been rectified by ministerial representatives, and a successful meeting was held with the traditional leaders, and those that are supposed to sit council have been gazetted, and they will be attending council meeting, and the ongoing public participation has been monitored. The issues that existed in terms of the public protest, we have been monitoring and engaging the communities, particularly around the 8-4, that were protesting around the issue of incomplete roads. We also dealt with the protest at Ebugeni. The non-participation of the Ibanga Exchange Management Committee, this has been one of the challenging slides, because there are a lot of instability in the municipality, and we are, however, through our ministerial representative, dealing with the issue of Fair Change Management Committee, strengthening of Oversight Committee. Those are the achievements and progress that we've made. As we know that Indaga will be merging with Mnambithi Municipality, so we are working around the integration of this municipality, disestablishing of municipality, and then forming one municipality between Indaga and Lady Head. Mnambithi, and we have confirmed Mnambithi to be MSCOA compliant, and we are happy that this is one of the municipalities where the MSCOA has been implemented. Around the issue of systems and basic services, we have achieved a number of our targets here, and although we had a setback when the MM were killed, we think that we can at least achieve just stabilizing the municipality to allow it to, you know, merge and complete all its functions for the 2016 local government elections. The service delivery issues, you will see there's been a lot of progress, a lot of roads have been passed, multiple sports centers, 90% complete, the gravel roads, and those, all those other roads, the sports field, and project was blocked recently, and the contractor has been on site since November. Vaihook High Mast and 8-4 High Mast lights. We are waiting for ESCOM to connect. They've been put in terms of our rehabilitation of small town. Service delivery issues, again, we are waiting ESCOM to assist with the funding. Otherwise, we have achieved all the disputes that were presented by the service providers have been resolved, and the annual financial statements, we've achieved good progress in this, and the responding to the AG's findings, we also have dealt with those matters. the improvement of Sintema Oils is ongoing, but have now a dedicated resource that is put in place to review, among others, the other branches staff to prepare for the measures. Those are the indicators that we've achieved and the progress that we've achieved. I'm not going to go through each one of the items because I have gone through the indicators as well as the successes of the municipality. As we indicated there that this municipality will be disestablished and a new one will be formed combining Nambithi and Indaga, as well as the one before that which will be combining Imbabazane with Umtsebe, and we think that with those we will be able to achieve some progress in terms of consolidation of the service delivery plan of that cluster of municipalities. A change management committee dealing with the issues such as the list of bylaws, the rationalization of bylaws, the rationalization of different IT systems, the transfer of archives, and the off-site transfer of archives as well, the issues of contracts, and the assets and liabilities, as well as the contractual obligation. We are auditing this, and we are also working around the issues of confirming the existing staff headcount, and the finalization of the work study to prepare for the placement and the job evaluation for the new municipality. We have till last November had already a draft organogram. We had a draft business plan as well as the terms of reference for the service provider to assist us with the organogram and job descriptions, as well as the placement that will then take place following that work by the service providers. We still need to look at the issues. We are certain that there would not be any retrenchment. However, there will be rationalization at the senior management level. But if you look at how both of these municipalities don't have much in terms of senior managers, so we are expecting that there would be a lot of retrenchments or people that would be redundant as we move forward. Of course, the present salary budget of staff members should be placed. We're still looking at as a change management. We're also looking at financial implication, as well as the new evaluation role that will need to be effected at the expiry of in 2017. Rationalization of the billing systems, the compatibility of the IT and existing systems, and the consolidation of and updating of the graph registered access registers, as well as the finalization of the list of all assets. As I said, these will be assets and liabilities. The grants as well, we are looking at the list of grants that the municipalities have, and we are looking at the how we are going to be meeting those obligations, issues of raised income, health income, tariff structures, consolidation of annual financial statements, which will be happening as one municipality instead of two, the draft budget processes, depending when elections are taking place. This is now a little bit disorganizing us because the two financial years now, it means we'll finish in July and we'll now again have two budgets moving into new entity, but it's something that we need to now work on. This is our we had the plan for option one and option two in case elections are held before in May, or if elections are made are held after May, implications of those. We're compiling the list of projects, the list of homes. We have a communication strategy that we've drafted, which is ongoing. Party participation, the new name of the municipality, the logo, and the IDP processes, as well as the new location or the head office of these municipalities that will be merging. These are all the issues that we are dealing with at the CMC, and that's end of the presentation.
Honourable Member, this program, I think it's clearly very informative, and we interact with the progress report. Any clarification question? I think you've been listening. MEC has been listening to you, and I don't want to quote you out of context. But I think what you are trying to emphasize is very fine. That in most instances, you don't want to be seen invading or intruding within the municipality. But I think we must give context so that more people are not going to quote it out of context. Remember that Africa is a unitary thing. That is what the MEC was emphasizing. She went further to emphasize that much of the intervention takes place. That doesn't necessarily mean you take the running of the municipality out of the municipality. You are simply ensuring that we enhance the other sphere of government. Because if we don't give this thing context, and you see, other people might go out and interpret it differently from what the law requires. Section 151, subsection 4, if not mistaken, is very clear. And section 3, it is outlined that much as the municipality governs through its own initiative the affairs of their communities, that is happening within the precept of the constitution and the legislations, both from national and the province. Again, if you go to section 41 of the constitution, it is also emphasizing that much as three spheres of government would be executing their responsibilities and exercising their powers, they do that without necessarily encroaching on each other's geographic functionality. So I'm just saying is that let's put it into context. The MEC doesn't necessarily say a municipality can have to do as it wishes with the proviso that we are saying we can't get in. Get in. Section 139, as we are sitting here today, to ensure that we survive to the unitary state and not necessarily a federal state. I think that is what the comment that I wanted to make. Any clarification questions, Honourable Member? Honourable Manopole, you are so quiet and I'm becoming worried today. Honourable Manopole?
I mine is with regard to the officials of these municipalities. I realize and also congratulate the officials of the MEC police to deal with the disciplinary process for the city that it deserves. And my concern is with regards to keep it so that the other officials should not be addicted and tempted to do the same thing. Because that was very good from the beginning. How the mechanism to put in place for them to the other officials to learn lessons, particularly for them how to keep or to recover the funds with regards to from their pension funds before, but those who have resigned on the process of the disciplinary process is something else. But a measure to put in place just
Thank you very much. I will let down the first question and see what are measures in place to ensure that we have this ill discipline at the level of the municipality.
Well, we have put in place measures in terms of the controls within the municipality. So what you find that what causes municipal officials to do this is when you do not have and strict control in terms of who must authorize what and who must sanction what. And that's when you see the weaknesses emerge within municipalities. The unfortunate thing is that the disciplinary for the rest of the officials could not take place until you have dealt with the MMs. And the unfortunate thing as well there is that you then have people going before you can finalize a disciplinary, which then means you will have to finalize disciplinary, and if there are any then monies that will be due to the municipality, and remember you are correct, we usually ensure that we recover those monies through pension funds or any other funds that might be accruing to that staff member.
Thank you very much, Honourable MEC. Any other clarification question? In the absence, I think MEC is very clear that the report has been well digested. What is left for the committee in the next ensuing meeting is for us to pronounce on this matter, because I think there are deadlines in terms of the stipulations. And perhaps we must indicate that even if the minister might have pronounced, the committee still have autonomy to look at the substantive evidence before us, the procedural aspects, and also the constitutionality of the intervention before we can pronounce. We can either go a different direction depending on what we have before us, or we can either go in support of what is before us. Not necessarily to say we have a say, but the world will be thoroughly looking at the nitty-gritties that is informed and being substantiated in terms of invocation of Section 139 of the Constitution. I'm not sure all the members if there's anything from the side that we wish to raise with our committee. In the absence of that, allow me then, Honourable MEC and members, to convey our gratitude to the MEC. I think you are setting the tone to many MECs in our country that the committee is not necessarily punitive even when we appear before it. Yes, indeed, we are aware and it arrives, I hope you know, and officials also know. But the more we interact, I think it is really ensure that we have a common vision of ensuring that South Africa and the communities that are able to sit like we are sitting here are being well represented. And it has also forced a good working relationship between ourselves and the MEC and the province. However, MEC, we think and believe very anytime soon will be inviting the MEC to appear before the committee in terms of Section 47 report, as outlined in terms of the municipal system set. Where we'll be getting an assessment of all 61 municipalities in the province, just to get sense, because we strongly believe as the committee that our role is not to be reactive in terms of our oversight, but we want to be more proactive, to pick up challenges up front, so that where we are envisaging to embark on interventions, at least we engage better, prior to us picking up deficiencies, then we become more proactive. Our emphasis again, MEC, when we meet in person, the next and three meetings, will also come up on the measures that the MEC might be putting in place to assist municipalities in terms of addressing austerities that the President spoke about during the State of Nation address. We'll also look more on issues of the pervasives to ensure that we monitor progress in terms of aid, and also come up with further intervention should there be any deficiencies around it. But nonetheless, thank you very much. On behalf of the committee, we wish to thank you once again, MEC, for honoring our call when we invited you to appear before the committee. And also to your officials, we want to say thank you very much. Also to all our members who honor the meeting and the officials, thank you very much. The meeting is officially adjourned.
You know what I'm going to do?